Central City Media is proud to announce the Valley's favorite radio talk show. This is In the Booth with Jim Bunner.
Yes, let your glasses high.
As long as there's a USA, don't let his memory die.
That he was making history never once occurred to him.
But I doubt if we'd have been here if it weren't for men like Jim.
Big Jim has satisfied women throughout the world, and the capital of Nebraska is Lincoln.
You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spin into the wind. You don't pull a mask or no long range, and you don't mess around with Jim.
In the Booth is talk radio the way it's meant to be. And here's Jim Bunner.
Good evening, Central City Radio listeners. Thank you very much for joining me for another exciting edition of In the Booth. I am your host, Jim Bunner. And gosh dang, where do I want to start off? There's all kinds of fascinating things that are just taking place in the news, but you know, one thing, one great way to have an icebreaker for a radio talk show like this is to talk about something going on in somebody's personal life, like mine, for example. See, I've got a lot of siblings. And of course, all of you out there, you know, most people do happen to have siblings. Most of us are not only children. But there's always some kind of competition going on with your siblings in some way, shape, or form. See, like for me, for example, I'm trying to figure out what I want to do for my summer vacations, okay? I'm looking at all these fun places to go to. Do I want to go to Florida? Do I want to take a weekend flight out to Maine, you know, when the summer gets really hot and I want to be someplace that's a little bit cooler, you know, with a nice, cool beach someplace? Okay, do I want to go out to Las Vegas with an old friend of mine from high school? Or do I want to go to Australia and New Zealand? See, that's something that I was pondering, and I've got a bunch of itinerary that I've got figured out that I want to go and do in Australia and New Zealand, and maybe even Tahiti if I can get like a really cool layover in one of the islands someplace. But see, for those of us who have siblings, there's always some kind of competition, some kind of rivalry, you know, with whatever sibling you have. You're trying to be better than that sibling. You're trying to do a better job with something than that sibling that you happen to have. Well, lo and behold, while I'm trying to be like, you know, the cool sibling who has accomplished all kinds of fascinating things and has traveled the world and done, you know, fun stuff and gone on fun vacations and just lived a wild life, well, all of a sudden, lo and behold, I'm getting on my personal social media, and my sister just took her husband on a nice vacation to Australia and New Zealand this week. No, seriously, and she's posting all these pictures on social media about her fantastic vacation that she's going on, that she can just kind of brag about how everybody in the United States is going through all these record cold temperatures. Everybody's complaining about the frigid cold, and she's just down there in Australia and New Zealand just enjoying all these waterfalls and beaches and scenery. Well, she beat me to it. For heaven's sake, my sister went on a cool trip down to Australia and New Zealand before I got around to doing it. Now, if I go on my trip to Australia and New Zealand like I was originally planning, all of a sudden I'm going to look like that guy who was the copycat. Okay, I'm just going to say, oh, well, she went, so now I have to go. No, actually, I was planning on doing a trip to Australia and New Zealand earlier, but my sister happened to beat me to it. And a lot of Americans don't know a whole lot about Australia and New Zealand, but just judging from some of the pictures that my sister has already posted online, some of the pictures that she has taken on this fabulous trip, New Zealand, from what I can tell, is really a beautiful country. Okay, my sister is showing me pictures of like waterfalls and little green lagoons and, I don't know, something funky where there's just like steam coming out of these pits somewhere. And she's showing pictures of all the really unique street signs that they have in New Zealand, too. Fascinating stuff. Looking like a great place to go on a vacation. Okay, just, you know, coming from my sister who beat me to going to New Zealand. Well, probably the big thing that I guess she's going to be asked about is not going to be all the fascinating waterfalls and beaches and scenery and everything that she happened to take pictures of in New Zealand. I bet she's going to get some questions about how the New Zealanders are responding to this big shooting that just took place. Now, see, that's a really good segue for this radio show. You know, talk about a great vacation that somebody that you know of is taking right now in New Zealand. And no, really, I do have a sister that just took a vacation to New Zealand when the big shooting took place. So I'll bet she's going to have all kinds of fascinating things to sit and talk about, you know, when the family gets together and discusses everything that's taken place in the last year. Well, as you know, a maniac just went on a shooting spree in the city of Christchurch, shot up a mosque. I guess 49 people are dead, several people more are injured. And now, I guess, from what this guy wanted, this is what this shooter wanted in his manifesto, he wanted to ignite political debate. And there's nothing that gets people talking about gun laws and gun restrictions and gun rights and everything than a mass shooting. It always happens. You know, the side of the debate that says that we would all be safer if we just didn't have so many guns out there and guns were not so easy to obtain, all go and they point out things along the lines of such and such happened to obtain their guns legally. Well, and then somebody else will say, oh, there's a flaw in your thinking. There was some kind of a law or a rule that this individual happened to break that would have made for it that that putting more restrictions on guns would not stop this shooting. It's a problem of people. It's a problem of how, you know, people are acting. Okay, that's the big thing that everybody always talks about. It's the same debate. Somebody comes up with some statistics and some logic and reasoning and whatever else. It's the same thing over and over again. Okay, but that is what is being debated right now. As a matter of fact, New Zealand's Prime Minister even says that there's problems with New Zealand's gun laws. Okay, so what have we got going on here? New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, and I had to get on YouTube just so I could make absolutely sure that I was pronouncing Jacinda's name correctly. I mean, this is a unique name for somebody in the English-speaking world. Was it Jacinda? Jacinda? Was it Ardern? Ardern? Wow. What a fascinating name. Anyway, Jacinda Ardern says that there's going to be a gun law reform after the infamous mosque massacre. New Zealand's government has agreed to reform the country's gun laws in the wake of last Friday's massacre at two mosques. Jacinda Ardern said the worst act of terrorism on our shores has exposed a range of weaknesses in New Zealand's gun laws. Speaking after her weekly cabinet meeting, Ardern told reporters that ministers had agreed in principle to reform gun laws, while acknowledging that for a short period, planned reforms might create uncertainty for some gun owners. She said, "I strongly believe that the vast majority of gun owners in New Zealand will agree with the sentiment that change needs to occur." Earlier Monday, New Zealand time, I don't know if that would necessarily be today in the United States, but earlier Monday, New Zealand time, a popular New Zealand e-commerce website, TradeMe, ended the sale of semi-automatic guns on its online marketplace. And TradeMe wrote in a statement, "We've listened to public sentiment following Friday's terrorist attack in Christchurch and decided to remove all semi-automatic firearm sales and parts associated." The Prime Minister has announced that there would also be an inquiry into the specific circumstances leading up to Friday's attack. The inquiry will look into what agencies knew or should have known about the gunman's access to weapons or any impediments into the sharing of information. So, While it would seem that they may have the same type of gun debate over there in New Zealand that we have over here, you know, I thought that I should try to research the whole gun issue in New Zealand, the way New Zealanders look at it. And from what I've seen, okay, I haven't actually talked to any New Zealanders about it, but from what I've seen, it's really gun control is not as partisan an issue in New Zealand as it is over here. I guess both of the major political parties agree to some kind of gun law reform. And, you know, when you think about guns in other countries, ordinarily, at least this is my sentiment, that it's mostly Americans who believe that they should have the right to own a firearm. Well, no, believe it or not, New Zealanders and Australians have firearms. Okay, they own them, but they have a few more restrictions than we have, and I guess their politicians are not sitting around debating with each other about what kind of gun laws the country should have. So I'll bet they end up getting reforms. Now, this isn't the first time that mass shootings have happened in New Zealand, though. There's a big, a really big one that took place, for those of you who don't know, and which you're probably a lot like me. I don't know a whole lot about mass shootings in New Zealand. Okay, but there was a massacre in 1990 in New Zealand. It was called the Aramoana Massacre. It was a shooting spree that occurred in a small seaside township in New Zealand. And some guy, this is interesting, a fellow named David Gray had a verbal dispute with his next door neighbor, so he just killed 13 people. And one of the people that he killed was a local police sergeant named Stuart Guthrie, one of the first responders to the reports of a shooting. All right, well, eventually this guy was shot and injured as he came out of a house firing from the hip. He died in an ambulance while being transported to a hospital. And after this shooting, after this Aramoana massacre, see, I had to look that thing up again because that was kind of a fascinating name, Aramoana. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, for heaven's sake. All right, well, after these shootings, sweeping changes were made to New Zealand's firearms legislation in 1992, including 10-year photographic licenses and tight restrictions on military-style semi-automatic firearms. Okay, so mass shootings in New Zealand have led to gun control legislation. All right, and even though there are gun laws in New Zealand, apparently they may or may not have stopped this shooting in Christchurch. Now, as the Prime Minister said, there's going to be an inquiry into how this guy got the guns, etc., etc. But from what I've heard, he got the guns legally, but I guess the guy was from Australia, so more will probably come out of this. Now, for people on either side of the gun debate here in the United States, maybe taking a look at what the New Zealanders are doing, what has been successful in New Zealand, what has not been successful in New Zealand. Okay, one thing to remember is that while New Zealand does allow people to have guns, okay, New Zealanders have guns just like Americans have guns, mass shootings don't just take place in areas where guns are present. They don't just take place where people are allowed to have guns. Now, every single bit of this mass shooting in Christchurch, New Zealand, has been met with a total polar opposite in the Netherlands. This is a breaking story that is taking place today. Okay, now at least 3 people are dead and 5 others have been wounded after somebody opened fire on a tram today in Utrecht in the Netherlands. The shooting occurred near a station in Utrecht, located about 30 miles southeast of Amsterdam, and this suspect is a 37-year-old Turkish-born man, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce the fellow's name. He was apprehended. A motive remains unknown, but it does appear that, from what Dutch authorities are saying, that this shooting looks to have all of the characteristics of a terrorist attack. Or at least they're looking into it as a terrorist attack. Now, I have not seen anything that said that they've actually proven this was some sort of jihadi attack. All right. But right now it's unclear whether other perpetrators were involved. This may have been one guy. Nobody knows why he went on the shooting spree. Well, while New Zealand has gun laws that allow people to own guns, okay, and they're looking at doing reform. Should we take a look at the same types of laws that they have over there in the Netherlands, where this other shooting took place? In the Netherlands, gun ownership is restricted to law enforcement, hunters, and target shooters. Self-defense is not a valid reason to own firearms. Okay, so you're not allowed to have them over there for self-defense. In all likelihood, while it's possible the shooter over there in New Zealand may have gotten the guns legally, the shooter in the Netherlands most likely did not have the guns legally. Okay. A hunting license in the Netherlands requires passing a hunter safety course and to own a gun for target shooting. The applicant must have been a member of a shooting club for a year. People with felonies, drug addictions, and mental illnesses may not possess firearms. Once obtained, firearms must be stored in a safe and annually inspected by police. So police have to take a look at what types of guns you happen to have, if you have one over there in the Netherlands. Firearms may only be used in self-defense as a matter of equal force. Fully automatic firearms are banned, but are otherwise few restrictions. Semi-automatics, handguns, and magazines of all sizes are legal, as are types of ammunition. A licensed gun owner may only have 5 firearms registered to his or her license at one time. So they have a lot more strict rules over there in the Netherlands where this other shooting took place, and yet the shooting still occurred. More, I'm certain, will come out about this, but in any case, we could have one shooting where somebody got the guns legally, another shooting where there are plenty of restrictions in place that apparently did not stop a shooting from happening. All of this is food for thought, as these shootings, I'm certain, will ignite or reignite the gun debate in the United States. Everybody pay attention to what comes of both of these shootings as far as the legality of each of these people having their guns, okay? Because Americans obviously are going to have to be coming up with arguments on either side of the gun issue. As both of these take place. Well, now the classic argument from the people who don't want more restrictions on guns in the U.S. is that it's not the fault of the gun that the shooting took place. It's the fault of the person wielding the gun. And that's a perfectly reasonable argument. I mean, after all, if guns are the bad guy here, shouldn't Australia and New Zealand be putting restrictions on eggs? No, really. Somebody just got assaulted with an egg in Australia, and I'm wondering who is going to be blaming the egg for this assault. I'm going to have that story coming up right after this. You are tuned to Central City Radio.
In the Booth, we'll return after these quick but very important commercial breaks.
I spend a lot of time in the backyard, and I'm the center of attention at summer barbecues. In 96, I made some of the tastiest s'mores. And in 09, it was me, your backyard fire pit, that accidentally started a wildfire when a summer breeze carried one of my embers into some dry brush.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Hope you enjoyed your meal. And I just want to say, he's lucky to have a brother like you.
Lucky? Caring for my brother is far from easy. But he's a part of me, like my arms and legs, so I'll be his. No time for tired. Nothing can disable this love. He needs me, but I'm the lucky one. Even though I need help now and then.
If you're caring for a loved one, visit aarp.org/caregiving for care guides and community. Support for your strength. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
What if I told you that a tornado was going to happen tomorrow, right where you live? That it would touch down at exactly 3:17 p.m. and I told you the exact path it would take. You would, of course, prepare. You would talk with your loved ones, and you'd make a plan today. It's true, I can't tell you a tornado will strike tomorrow, but shouldn't you have a plan anyway? Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is Mario Andretti. You know me as a race car driver, but I'm also a Meals on Wheels volunteer. I've raced against the sport's biggest personalities, but I've never met more vibrant, amazing people than the seniors served by Meals on Wheels. You can make a difference by dropping off a hot meal and saying a quick hello. So, America, let's do lunch. Volunteer your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org.
Folks, thank you for joining me once again on In the Booth. This is Central City Radio, and I am your host, Jim Bunner. Okay, so the big news that is going on planet Earth right now is this big shooting in New Zealand, and then the next one that took place in the Netherlands. And as I mentioned earlier, there is an argument among gun rights advocates in the United States that it is not the fault of the gun that a shooting took place. It's the fault of the person who is pulling the trigger. Okay. And the argument always goes, and this is a perfectly reasonable argument, why do we not want to ban cars because somebody commits vehicular homicide? Okay. Why do we not want to ban knives? Why is there not the same movement to have more restrictions on knives or cars or clenching up a fist, something else that can cause great harm to people? Well, speaking of the New Zealand terror attack, a guy in Australia was just assaulted with an egg while talking about the New Zealand mass shooting. For those of you who are a lot like me and don't know a whole lot about Australian politics, I guess there's this Australian senator. His name is Fraser Anning. He's one of these far-right politicians, and he was saying that this New Zealand terror attack is a result of Muslim immigration. All right. Well, he was speaking, and this is so funny. He was speaking about the shooting in New Zealand, and he was talking about how it's a result of people reacting to too much Muslim immigration. Well, a 17-year-old kid egged him. This took place in Melbourne, Australia. Video footage of this event appears to show Fraser Anning, far-right independent Queensland senator, halfway through a press conference when this 17-year-old teenager cracked an egg over his head while filming what he was doing with a mobile phone. Okay, so just put yourself in Fraser's shoes for a second, Fraser Anning's shoes for a second. You're trying to have a professional get-together, a professional press conference, where you're giving your thoughts on the big news event of the day. And some kid, some goofy, snot-nosed kid, just comes up behind you and just puts an egg on your head and makes a mess on your head. What would you do? Would you seriously turn around and tell the kid, okay, look, why did you do that? Why are you acting this way? Or would you give the kid a big left hook? Now, come on. Of course, you deck the kid. He's acting like an idiot. Well, he's 17 years old, okay? We were all idiots at 17. You know, they do that, but so what? That's no excuse. They can't be getting away. They can't be allowed to get away with acting like idiots. Okay, so the senator responded by punching the teenager. Later on, the kid was tackled to the ground by Fraser Anning's supporters, and he was held in a chokehold. He was later taken away by police and released without charge. Police in Victoria are investigating this incident. Okay, so the Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jacinda, says that there should be more restrictions on guns, or they're going to look at New Zealand's gun laws as if, you know, they've already reformed gun laws after this mass shooting that took place in 1990, and mass shootings are still taking place in New Zealand. All right, but they're going to reform their gun laws, and apparently a lot of New Zealanders happen to agree with having more restrictions on guns to keep everybody safe. At least that's what I've seen of it. Okay, maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe there are people in New Zealand who oppose more gun laws. Okay, but if it's the guns that are making people do these things, then surely by that logic, Australia should have more restrictions on eggs. Because after all, it was the egg that made this 17-year-old hit this politician in the head and make a mess all over his hair. Right? It wasn't the 17-year-old acting like a 17-year-old. No. We cannot be doing something about the youth of Australia acting in unprofessional ways. No. It's got to be the fault of the egg. I mean, after all, if more gun restrictions are going to stop people from committing mass shootings, then without a doubt, if we would not give eggs to 17-year-olds, the 17-year-olds couldn't have the eggs to go around cracking them over people's heads, right? And shouldn't we have cops come around to people's homes to inspect how many eggs people have? Because after all, if you see an egg, you may be tempted to throw that egg at somebody and wreak havoc. Well, that's just a thought. You know, if we're going to have more restrictions on gun ownership, let's have more restrictions on egg ownership. I mean, people could throw eggs at each other, and it's all the fault of the egg. You know, let's just ignore this whole philosophy from the book of Luke about evil deeds come from the hearts of men and that people cannot be corrupted from the outside. People can only be corrupted from within. You know, let's just ignore all of that. It's all the fault of the inanimate object. Well, this guy, this Australian senator, Fraser Anning, was criticized after trying to seek attention by saying the mosque attack highlighted a growing fear over an increasing Muslim presence in Australia and in New Zealand communities. Australia's current Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, said that Fraser Anning's comments blaming the Islamic community for the shooting were quote-unquote appalling and ugly, and they have no place in Australia. The Prime Minister announced the government would censure this guy named Fraser Anning. A Change.org petition calling for Anning's expulsion from Parliament has amassed around 250,000 signatures. So Fraser Anning apparently already has enough issues over there in Australia. He doesn't really need kids cracking eggs over his head. But, again, that's just an idea, you know. Maybe that should be Fraser Anning's next political crusade. Let's put a stop to giving 17-year-olds eggs, because after all, Fraser Anning was a victim of 17-year-olds having eggs. Okay, we got more stuff about teenagers breaking rules coming up in just a little bit. You're tuned to In the Booth on Central City Radio.
In the Booth will return after these quick but very important commercial breaks.
This is Mario Andretti. You know me as a race car driver, but I'm also a Meals on Wheels volunteer. I've raced against the sport's biggest personalities, but I've never met more vibrant, amazing people than the seniors served by Meals on Wheels. You can make a difference by dropping off a hot meal and saying a quick hello. So, America, let's do lunch. Volunteer your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org.
This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
People been saying to your friend, get a different face, and posting on their feed, they're super ugly. The things they say to them online are cruel and they're not true. So tell your friend, I'll stand up for you. Don't worry, I know what to do.
Know someone being bullied online? You can be a witness and make a difference by letting the world know it isn't cool and by letting your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Folks, it's In the Booth here on Central City Radio. I am your host, Jim Bunner. And if you've been following the whole show, we've had a heck of a show. We've gone from international travel to mass shootings around the world to gun control and then even egg control. Because, you know, those immature teenagers, they have absolutely no idea what they're doing as far as owning a gun or as far as being trusted with an egg. Well, you know, this kid, the 17-year-old who cracked an egg over an Australian senator's head, apparently, I guess he didn't get charged with anything. He kind of got away with it. They said, yeah, okay, you're acting like an immature 17-year-old. It is kind of funny, actually. You know, you crack an egg over some guy's head. All right. So that's something that this Australian teenager is probably going to be remembered for at his school. He's going to have people talking to him about it, I'm sure. But something else happened to a teenager in Ohio recently. I thought that this story, this hasn't exactly been national news, but this was fascinating. Okay, this kid in Australia cracked an egg over somebody's head, and he didn't get into any trouble. Now, thank goodness the kid was not trying to promote the Bible. He might have gotten into a lot of trouble. Because another teenager right here in the United States, the land of religious freedom, in Ohio, got in trouble for posting Bible verses. Okay, now that's not so much the controversy here, but she was posting Bible verses in response to gay pride flags, and she was suspended for targeting what is called a gay straight alliance club. You guys are going to love this. Listen to this. A student in Ohio claims she received a day of in-school suspension after she hung Bible verses on walls and lockers in response to the LGBTQ pride flags decorating the halls. And the LGBTQ thing, I've always had problems with this because they always change it up. Okay, isn't there like a LGBTQ and now all of a sudden there's like I and A in it? I think they add all of these extra letters in some of this just so that they can confuse me. Okay, and I can never remember. Is it GBLT? Is it BGLT? That is such a tongue twister for me. I like to think of, when I think about the gay, lesbian, transsexual, transgender, whatever it is, community, I try to think of something that would make me hungry. So I just like to call it the GBLT community, the gay BLT community, because it helps me think of a BLT sandwich. Okay, that makes it easier. So I just say the gay BLT community. Well, this teen alleges that her principal said she was targeting this organization called the Gay Straight Alliance. Well, in a video shared on her mother's Facebook page, Gabby Helsinger details the incident that occurred at Lebanon High School in the great state of Ohio. And she says that when she got to school on Thursday of last week, she saw that there were pride flags, posters around the school, and she felt the need to write down some Bible verses so that she could put them around the school. She wrote them down and she put them around the lockers and the walls, and it's unknown which Bible verses Gabby chose to share with her peers. Now, that's the interesting thing about this story. What were the Bible verses that she got herself in trouble for? Okay, was it some of these Bible verses in Leviticus that say homosexuality is a sin? Was she trying to pick on people? But see, I would think that somebody would share what the Bible verses were that she got in trouble over. Because surely if it was just some Bible verse that was simple and harmless like John 3:16, okay, that would not be something that would be meant to offend anybody. Which, you know, if she was just posting a bunch of John 3:16 stuff or some inspirational passages from the Bible, then that really makes the school look bad because she wasn't doing anything that was offensive. Okay, that's the most important, well, the most interesting thing about this. What kind of Bible verses was she posting? Well, Gabby says that when she was returning from lunch, she witnessed her teachers taking down her Bible verses. She says, the next day I got called to the office and there's a letter that says I have an ISS, which is an in-school suspension, and the reason I have it is because abuse of others, disrespect, and rudeness because she put Bible verses up targeting the Gay Straight Alliance organization. And she also claims that she did not know what this Gay Straight Alliance organization was or what it even meant. So basically, this girl was just posting Bible verses, and of course, we don't know what Bible verses she was posting. Okay, was she posting something simple and harmless? Was she just posting an inspirational quote? Or was she posting, you know, something that was targeting the Gay Straight Alliance about homosexuality as a sin? And even if she was, okay, who cares? That's her right. She can put it up. Well, Principal Scott Butler, who is unable to comment on student discipline matters, told Yahoo Lifestyle in an email that, in general, when a student violates the student code of conduct, there are consequences for those actions. So, according to the school, Gabby was violating some student code of conduct. Well, Gabby's mother, Tina Helsinger, did have a Facebook post that reads, she appealed the punishment stating posting a Bible verse is not abuse of others, disrespect, insolence, rudeness, and is no way targeting the GSA. Okay. Now, from the tone of what the mother posted on social media, I'm kind of leaning toward Gabby was not posting offensive Bible verses. Now, I really would like to know what the Bible verses were that she was posting. Okay, I don't know how, you know, if she's just posting something like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. You know, if she's just posting things like that, how is she targeting people? How is she doing something that is abusive or disrespectful or rude or insolent toward other people? Okay. Now, the mother didn't seem to think that the Bible verses her daughter was posting were offensive. So I'm kind of led to believe that this girl was not posting offensive Bible verses. She was not posting something that would have offended the Gay Straight Alliance. All right. But in any case, basically, she got in trouble for posting Bible verses. Now, she probably should have just taken an egg and cracked it over somebody's head. She may not have gotten into as much trouble doing something like that than doing something vicious and bloodthirsty like putting up a Bible verse in her school. Okay, well, a lot of people in Ohio, they're not too big fans of the state of Michigan. Or at least when it comes to football. I mean, Ohio, for heaven's sake, they even have a song called We Don't Give a Blank About the Whole State of Michigan. But I'm thinking Gabby, this little girl in Ohio, probably might begin to have respect for the state of Michigan. Because if Gabby ever decided that she shouldn't have gotten in trouble over these Bible verses, she may flip the bird finger to the powers that be in her school. Because according to a Michigan court, giving somebody the middle finger is constitutionally protected free speech. Everybody, hold on to your seats. You're going to love this final story that we have for In the Booth. This is a good one.
In the Booth will return after these quick but very important commercial breaks.
Welcome. Welcome to Calvin's Barbershop.
You all got to see this.
I don't even want to know what you're looking at on that phone.
Well, you should. I was learning about the dangers of high blood pressure and that we need to get ours checked regularly. High blood pressure can increase the risk of heart attack or stroke, but this text program can help keep it at a healthy range. Just text Barbershop to 97779 to sign up.
I'll get right on it as soon as I'm done with this baby panda video.
Text Barbershop to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
It's important to plan ahead for emergencies, like the storm. When it kicked in, we had a plan.
Separated.
We were able to get in touch with each other in no time.
I had no idea how to find each other.
The whole experience was fine.
It was the most frightening 10 hours of my life.
If there's one piece of advice I'd offer other moms out there, it's to stay calm and keep to the plan.
Some parents plan ahead. Some don't. Make sure you know where to find your family in an emergency. Start your plan at ready.gov. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you for joining me for the final segment of In the Booth here on Central City Radio. I am your host, Jim Bunner. All right. So you remember when we were all teenagers, we were rebellious, we were crazy, we did whatever. Okay, one teenager on our show tonight did not get into any kind of trouble for cracking an egg over an Australian senator's head, and another teenager did get in trouble for the horrible crime of putting up a Bible verse. Okay, well, Bible verses are free speech and they're free religion. Okay. So I wonder, could this school in Ohio be sued for taking down the Bible verses over free speech, over freedom of religion? You know, it's not impossible considering that a court in the state of Michigan recently ruled that the middle finger is constitutionally protected. Okay. This is awesome. How many of you have ever been pulled over by a cop and you just say, oh, you've got to be kidding me. I seriously got pulled over for this. Don't these cops have better things to do than to pull me over for something this petty? Okay, I think we all have. And I'm not picking on cops, all right? I've got one cousin who is in law enforcement and I got an uncle who's in law enforcement forever. They're both on different sides of the family. I do like cops. But everybody has that incident in which they got pulled over for something petty and the cop just was not being nice at all. Well, you guys, if you've had something like that happen to you, you are going to love this story out of Michigan. A federal appeals court says that a Michigan woman's constitutional rights were violated when she was handed a speeding ticket after giving the finger to a Detroit police officer. Okay, when it comes to the middle finger, police might need thicker skin. A federal appeals court says that a Michigan woman's constitutional rights were violated when she was handed a speeding ticket after giving the finger to a Detroit officer clear back in 2017. The decision means a lawsuit by Deborah Cruz Glias can proceed. I hope I'm pronouncing Deborah's name correctly. All right, well, in a 3-0 decision last week, the court said that Officer Matthew Menard, quote-unquote, should have known better, even if this driver was being a little bit rude. Well, Menard stopped Cruz and wrote her a ticket for a lesser violation. Okay, so evidently, a lesser violation. I'm guessing this woman was a little irked that she got pulled over for something petty. She just gave the cop the old bird finger. She just let him have it. All right, when the stop was over, Cruz Goliath raised her middle finger. Well, the cop wasn't having anything to do with that. He wasn't going to let her get away with this. Menard pulled her over again and changed the ticket to a more serious speeding offense. So the cop was going to get back at this chick for giving him the middle finger. Well, this lady sued, saying that her free speech rights and her rights against unreasonable seizure were violated. Okay, so basically, you have the right to flip off, flip off a cop in the state of Michigan. That's your free speech right. Just food for thought. Okay, see, if according to the courts, you have the right to hold up your bird finger to a cop, it's your free speech. Okay, if the cop wasn't gonna charge you with anything for any reason other than holding up the bird finger, I mean, it's not illegal, it is free speech. Okay, she didn't violate any law by holding up the middle finger. You know what? Feel free, everybody. Exercise your right to hold up your middle finger. Well, free speech doesn't actually protect you from an employer. So, I was just about to hold up the middle finger for the podcast here on In the Booth, but I probably better not do that. I might get into some trouble. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to wrap it up for another edition of In the Booth. I love putting this on, so I cannot wait to be back on the air again next week. Anyway, this is CentralCityRadio.com. Thank you for joining me today, everyone.
All around the world. Broadcasting from the CentralCityRadio.com studio, it's the all-new Hits 100.